Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks marijuana business owners say the free market should determine how many cannabis shops are in the city. That was a takeaway from a city council work session Monday held to discuss an ordinance that proposes limits on the industry. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The marijuana business owners and their allies did everything but quote Adam Smith in explaining why they oppose the restrictions in the proposed ordinance.
It's a free market. It's capitalism. It's the American dream.
Mason Evans says he and his fellow cannabis capitalists, who turned out for Monday's two-hour work session, all invested heavily in their businesses because they saw opportunity. He says the limit of 12 retail shops in the city that the ordinance would impose would be unfair to a handful of those whose applications are still pending and to others who want to get into the business.
You guys don't need to pick winners or losers. Limiting licenses will limit the growth of Fairbanks. You're saying, all right, this number of people is all that's going to be here. You know, what happens if Fairbanks booms?
Councilman Jonathan Bagwell, who opposes the marijuana industry and supports the ordinance, says he doesn't understand why the business owners don't like the idea.
If I had a business, I wouldn't want there to be 140 businesses like mine in the same city.
But Dan Peters says that's not how he and his fellow retailers see it.
My business will benefit either way. I am good enough at my business to hold my own against any other business that comes along. So I'm not worried about other licenses and license caps.
Vivian Stivers, a former council member who also opposes the industry, reminded the business owners that the ordinance would set the number of retail shops according to population. That would be about one shop per 3,000 people, just as alcohol licenses are allocated, she said, encouraging the council to hold to that.
It's been said since day one. The numbers that you have on your retail and other stores, like you saw, are set in the alcohol regulations, and I believe you're on the right track. Those should be followed.
Councilman Jerry Cleworth followed up on that point a few minutes later when pressing Evans on why he and the others now don't want to adhere to that.
So what's happened here?
What's happened here is everybody, like I said, is sailing uncharted waters.
Evans and others say regulating marijuana like alcohol was just a starting point. They said they're obviously different substances, so city officials should resist calls to place additional restrictions on the marijuana industry that may turn out to be unnecessary. The point was underlined in an exchange between Councilman David Prues and Ray Brazier, a local real estate agent who's worked with the businesses and who says a shortage of qualifying commercial real estate in Fairbanks may settle the issue of how many retail shops the city can support.
It's certainly getting more and more difficult to find areas that you meet all the restrictions, both the state as well as the borough ordinance setbacks. Whether we've reached full saturation, I do think we're probably approaching that.
Mayor Jim Matherly says he intends to set up additional meetings, including one with marijuana industry opponents, before the council revisits the ordinance for final amendments and possible approval in the May 7th meeting. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
This season's well above normal snowpack is a challenge for moose. The snow depth at Fairbanks International Airport is 29 inches, but Alaska Department of Fish and Game Assistant Area Wildlife Biologist Mark Nelson says amounts nearly double that of accumulated in the hills, more than enough to cause problems for moose.
There's been some research done that somewhere around 30 to 32 inches of snow starts to limit calves' ability to move around, and somewhere around 36 inches is where you'll start to limit adults.
Nelson says moose are prone to nutritional stress in late winter, and deep snow can make it harder to access browse as well as defend themselves from wolves.
It's slow going for the moose and it's easy going for the wolf, and that typically leads to a little bit more predation.
Nelson says the situation can drive moose onto roads and trails where it's easier walking. That can lead to collisions with vehicles and run-ins with people out recreating.
Regardless of what they're doing or what you may think, they're potentially really dangerous.
Fish and Game Education and Outreach Specialist Mike Terrace recommends extreme caution if you encounter a moose.
Don't try to scare it off of the trail because you may increase the anxiety of that animal and cause it to get more anxious and more likely to charge you. And it may be inconvenient, but you might have to turn around and go the other way.
Fish and Game has so far not seen an increase in reported incidents involving moose and people. A former Anchorage resident has been sentenced for a reckless flying incident that severely injured a boater in southwest Alaska. Benjamin Hancock pled guilty in a Dillingham court last week to felony assault As KDLG's Avery Lill reports, Hancock will pay a fine and restitution, but not serve jail time.
Flying recklessly is illegal, and the consequences can be devastating. That was the central message of Travis Finkenbinder's family and the assistant district attorney Allison O'Leary at Benjamin Hancock's sentencing hearing. In 2014, Hancock and Finkenbinder were working together to move skiffs from one section of the Mulchatna River to another for their employer. Hancock was providing air support, piloting a de Havilland DHC-2 Beaver floatplane. Hancock took off from the river, heading in the same direction as Finkenbinder, who was driving a boat. Hancock flew low over the boat, and the ski of Hancock's plane hit Finkenbinder in the head. Finkenbinder survived, but suffered extensive permanent brain damage. He remains in a minimally conscious state, unable to hold up his head, speak, or eat. He can respond to basic questions inconsistently with a thumbs up. Doctors have said his condition will not improve. At the hearing, Captain Scott Quist, an Alaska State Wildlife Trooper and veteran pilot who was stationed in King Salmon when the tragedy occurred, took the stand as the state's expert witness. Quist said that he saw no reasonable explanation for Hancock not clearing Finkenbinder and his boat by hundreds of feet. A buzz job, or buzzing, is slang in the aviation community for intentionally making a low pass over something or someone. As a part of a plea deal with the state, Hancock will avoid jail time. He pleaded guilty to felony assault in the third degree and agreed to pay restitution of $6,100 to Travis Finkenbinder's family. Supreme Court Judge Christina Ray ordered Hancock to pay a fine of $25,000 to the state. However, she expressed doubt that a sentence without jail time will send a strong message to the aviation community. If active jail time were on the table, she said she would have ordered it.
Buzzing is a problem, and we all know it. And it's something that can end very badly, which it did in this particular situation.
Hancock was tearful throughout the testimony and victim impact statements of Travis Finkenbinder's wife and father. During his own statement, he apologized to the victim's family.
I know there's nothing I can say to take away the pain and cement that Travis and the family have endured, nor to ease the burden moving forward, and for that I'm truly sorry. I intend to make this lesson. Guide me in efforts to become a better person and not to be the person I was on June 25th, 2014.
Hancock, who now lives in Colorado, was given 3 months of unsupervised probation and 18 months suspended jail time in addition to the fine and restitution he was ordered to pay. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
And I'm Dan Bross.